WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do. From the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being. Because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
With VerboCare, help is always ready. Before, during, and after your stay. We've planned for the plot twists, so support is always available. Because a great trip starts with peace of mind.
Get ready for another episode of the Life Strong Project.
And now, in stereo.
Welcome, family. Welcome to the Life Strong Project. Again, I am your host, AC, and as always, it is an honor to bring you this show and this episode in particular, because I'm dying to get into it with our guest. But this is more so what we're doing is we want to, you know, there were some things in the media said about, you know, I don't want to get into, you know, what's right, what's wrong, what we believe or anything like this, but more so against our black women. And so I really want to dedicate the next few shows to black women to show that they are powerful, they are positive, they are able, and they are not what some people consider DEI hire. So today on the Life Strong Project, we are joined by an incredible guest who embodies resilience, authenticity, and purpose. She is a confidence mindset coach, as well as the founder of Real Self Academy, where she helps women in immigrant communities reconnect with their true selves, heal emotionally, and align with the life they truly desire. She has over 5 years of speaking experience at women's conferences, universities, community-focused events. She has inspired audiences through empowerment programs, mentoring workshops for young ladies. She's a wealth of knowledge. Her nonprofit and community work, she continues to mentor young women in confidence, wellness, purpose-driven living. Life Strong family, on today, I want you to help me welcome our guest, Mercy Kiplaga. Did I say it right?
Yes.
I said it right. Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being a part of this.
My name is Mercy. Thank you for having me, AC, on this wonderful show. Of course, there's a lot we're going to get into, especially about women and immigrant women and all that, but I'm honored to be here today.
Awesome, awesome. And we are so thankful for you to for you being a part of the show. So I'm curious. As we kind of discussed on, you know, before the interview, your background and how you are, you're Kenyan, correct?
Yes.
You're Kenyan. So I'm dying to, if you could just tell us a little bit more about your background being Kenyan and you making the journey and you're now residing where?
In Canada.
In Canada. So, just tell us a little bit about your background, you know, your journey from Kenya to Canada. That's a long way. I'm sure it's a lot of different culture, a lot of differences going on there. And just tell us about you and, you know, how your message came to play.
Thank you for having me and for that question. So, yes, my journey began in Kenya, where I was born and raised. And I grew up in a very small town with a wonderful family. My parents are very entrepreneurial. So my childhood, especially in African setting, was filled with a lot of community, a lot of resilience and coming together, and also with a lot of heavy cultural and religious expectations for women, from the path you're supposed to take, whether it's career or to the other end of it, which is marriage. And by the time I was 14, I knew I didn't belong in that small community, which had lots of limitations. And the only way out, my parents are very focused, they are very career oriented. So the only way they would let me out of the home per se would be through education. And I left home when I was 18, but my journey did not first come to Canada. I went to China for almost 5 years before I came to Canada. And in China, there was a lot of the cultural shock in itself, from a small town girl to being in Beijing, where everything just felt different, from the language that was being spoken to seeing bullet trains every other corner you turn. And it just felt like I had landed in a different continent, per se.
I can imagine.
And yes. And when I was there, I was able to start a small business where I was shipping products from China to Kenya, and I was selling them. Mostly was beauty products for women and girls, skincare, that whole routine. I was going to be a business lady.
All right.
And unfortunately, COVID hit. And from there, everything took a turn. Shipping was slow, the world shut down, everything stopped, and I had to change my whole perspective, because this was almost 2 years going of doing nothing. And my parents are very driven. They expect so much from us. If you're not being a lawyer, a doctor, you should be having a very good managerial position somewhere. You should be bringing money and income. Mm-hmm. And this is when I decided to further my education, because there was nothing else to do at that time. I decided to do my master's, and that's what brought me here to Canada.
Okay.
And when I came to Canada, it was much better compared to diversity and everything. which made it easier to settle here. The community is more welcoming than what I had experienced before. But also, there were other pressures that came on with coming here. I was expected by my parents are like, at this time they decided this is your own life. Whatever you choose, it's up to you to deal with it, including my own tuition fees. So when I was in Canada, I was just battling bills after bills. I was working so hard to save for my tuition fees. I was trying to have a social life, but it was quite impossible.
Right.
I was doing two jobs, I remember, in the beginning. I was doing two jobs and school at the same time.
Wow.
So that meant basically sleeping for 3 hours and then getting back to it, catching buses from one end to another. If you've been in Toronto, it's quite a big city. And moving from one end could take you roughly 2 hours just on transit.
Wow.
So this has become my normal life. This is what I was doing. And like many immigrants, I was just purely in survival mode. You're either paying the bills, you're trying to catch up in school. And there's also the black tax, where we still have to send a little bit of money back home to help the family we left behind.
Mm.
So there was no time to think about myself, about what I wanted and where my life was going to be. And after like 2-3 years here in Canada, I noticed that there was a huge change in like my body physically. I lost weight terribly. I was barely eating. My self-confidence had hit a low. My self-esteem too. Like, I didn't even know what I wanted to be in or to do. Right. All I knew is like, you have to get the next job. Rent is coming. Tuition fees for immigrants is, I think, almost double or three times what domestic students pay. And that is all coming off from my pocket.
So because you were an immigrant, you had to pay more for college?
Yes. Wow. So for international students in Canada, we pay almost $20,000 per year, while domestic students would pay almost $5,000 per year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
And this is still under the restrictions of you have to work under 20 hours a week as a student. So the hours are less, the pay is less, and you still have to pay double or triple the amount of tuition fees.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, it was quite challenging. And right now, I can't even imagine how I don't even imagine how I did it, because there was no time to think at that point. You're just moving from one place to another, trying to figure it all out. And when I realized the toll it had taken on my body, on my mental health, that's when I decided to change. I knew, like, I came here for better opportunities, mm-hmm. and let's say to have a better life, to have a better income, but not at the cost of me losing myself and losing everything that I knew and my health being impacted by all this. And this was the turning point for me when I realized, like, no, this cannot be the life I wanted. This is not what I wanted for myself or the community I wanted to create here.
Wow. So I used to have, so when that epiphany came right there, that point right there that you just spoke of, how long had you been in Canada? How long have you made the journey from China to Canada?
It had been 3 years in Canada.
Wow. Okay. Wow. So, wow. Okay. So you've been hustling like that for 3 years straight. Wow.
Yes.
Okay. Wow.
But you don't really notice it when you're chasing, like, when you know the bill is due.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're thinking about paying that bill. I get it.
Yeah. And I also noticed my social life. I did not have any friends. I did not have any relations apart from the colleagues. My colleagues were the only friends I knew, because I didn't have time to even get communities that we bonded over the values that we had.
Wow.
Yeah.
So 3 years, no friends. Like, I mean, colleagues aren't friends. Let's be honest. They're associates. They're people we see from 8 to 5 or whatever you work, and you say hi, you laugh, you joke, you work, and then when you punch out, you say bye, and that's it. Like, so nobody to, like, share free time with, or just talk, or just go out and eat, or you were literally in Canada by yourself.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can only imagine being in a strange country with nobody for 3 years.
Yes.
And I can, so during this entire time, I'm sure you're in contact with your family and friends in Kenya. I'm sure you're calling, whatever. During this time, I'm sure they're seeing, because you noticed it was 3 years and you're losing weight. Like, you're a shell of what you were. And at any time, did your family say, please come home? Did I say, please come home? I'm sure they were worried. I'm sure they were.
Yeah. They were worried, and they're still worried until today.
Oh, wow.
Because when my parents saw that I'd lost so much weight, they kept wondering what was going on. This is supposed to be a better opportunity. And every single time too, I'll tell them I still don't have enough money. And they were wondering, what's going on? You're spending so much time running up and down and still not enough money, and you're losing weight. You don't have any friends. I used to have one day off in a week, just one day off. And that one day is the one I'm trying to go on dates. I'm trying to find friends.
Wow.
That is the only time. But then the body's exhausted too.
Wow. So you work 6 days a week?
Yes.
Oh my God.
The same journey immigrants here do too.
You know, hats off to you, because if I work 6 days a week, that seventh day, don't even look for me. I'm serious. And there you are. You're trying to meet people and what? Not me. I'd have been like, no, I've got to shut it down, because I know you were exhausted. Wow. So, wow. So you're a shell of, you look at yourself, you lost all this weight, and you said, that's it. When that came, when that hit you, now you're working 6 days a week. When you said that's it, what exactly did that's it mean? Like, you quit?
I didn't quit immediately, of course.
Okay.
Because I knew I still have figure out different things. So what I did, I decided to look for a career that would bring in more money, but less work, less days, less hours.
Okay.
So my shift first was, of course, moving from the busy one that I was doing, the two jobs. I decided to find one job that paid better and had a more routine schedule. And that worked for a couple of months, but still I wasn't in the level I wanted to be in. And I've always had, I've always wanted to mentor people, to speak to people. And I realized that if I'm going through this and the few people I've met from school are going through the same thing, we all used to be late for class because we're coming from work. So I realized that this is going on in every single immigrant or someone who's just moved into Canada's story. And that's when I decided I have to do something, that I have to create a space that brings together all these people who are going through the same thing that I'm going through. And we can talk, we can discuss, we can find a way through this.
Ah, so that was the beginning of the Mercy Kiplagat, I'm sorry, that we know today. Ah, okay. So it only took 3 years. So it only took 3 years. That's it. So tell us. So you created this space where you bring, all these, people from different, cultural backgrounds, different countries, different lifestyles, and you bring all these people together. What were some of the hurdles? What were some of the, I'm sure you enjoy what you're doing, but what were some of those things that you said, man? Okay, this is step one, and I can't even get to step two because step one is so difficult. Or maybe it wasn't step one. Maybe it was step two, three, four. But what was, what were some of the hurdles?
The hurdles was mostly being in a space where you don't know anyone. Mm. The people around you may sound different or look different, especially because we have the cultural differences brings in the languages differences. And this had affected the confidence of a lot of people who were just moving in here.
You're listening to the Life Strong Project.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
With VerboCare, help is always ready, before, during, and after your stay. We've planned for the plot twists, so support is always available, because a great trip starts with peace of mind.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
We're back at the Life Strong Project.
Being in a space where you don't know anyone, the people around you may sound different or look different, especially because we have the cultural differences brings in the languages differences. And this had affected the confidence of a lot of people who were just moving in here. Most of us were from these different countries. We had a life before that. Let's say you were doing another career, you were doing another job. But when you come here, you're literally at the bottom of everything.
Wow.
You don't have enough spaces to communicate, to network. There is no time to do that. You don't have the good careers where you're able to have, let's say, a regular 9-to-5 and have a good job. You were always just doing the overnight shifts and then waking up to do something else. It was just always, it's like a wheel that just kept going downhill for every single one of us.
Wow. Now, that and I want to use, I want to say this without, you know, being to make it sound like I'm not understanding, or I don't want to offend anybody. Definitely not you. But so you mentioned that, you know, you're in this country and all the immigrants were just bottom level, pretty much, because, you know, you're immigrants. Was that because here you are, I'm sure at this point you had finished your MBA, right?
Mm-hmm.
So here you are, master's degree, educated. At time, was that a cultural thing? Was it Canada saying, yeah, we know you're, you know, educated, but are you educated? Or was it, you know, did they look at Mercy and say, you know, let's just be honest, she's a woman of color. Was it because you're a woman? Or was it a combination of all three? What was that thing that, you know, they looked at you and said, yeah, we'll give you the job, but it'll be this job. It won't be one of the ones you want.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so one of the things that blocks a lot of immigrants here is Canadian experience. That is one of the things listed under the job applications. And the Canadian experience is required, especially in these huge positions or better positions per se. So if they require, let's say, 3 years Canadian experience or 5 years Canadian experience, I just got here. I might be educated. I might have previous experience from whatever country I'm in, but the door is already closed before I got there.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Wait. Time out. Hold on. Wait. So on the job application, not only do you have experience in this position or doing this, they have something called the Canadian experience. And that's what, okay, I'm trying to wrap my head around this. What is the Canadian, just living in Canada?
Working and living here, mostly working, because they want you to understand the systems and everything going on in there.
But wouldn't that be job experience, not job experience.
No, I know a lot of people here who have had their master's or PhDs, but they're still doing just the menial jobs.
Because they don't have the Canadian experience.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. Wow. Okay. So because you didn't have the Canadian, look, when we get done, I'm just, you just have to really break it down. But okay, so there you are, 3 years. Now, did you know about the Canadian experience thing before? You didn't know. So you get there and all of a sudden you know, you finish your MBA and you're like, yes, I got the education. I'm about to get the job. And all of a sudden you look at that first application and it says Canadian experience. And you're like, what? Like, I'm sure you were like, what is that? Like,
yeah.
Because I'll be honest, I've never seen that on a job application here in the state. So I'm like, so they want you to have experience just being Canadian, and that's blowing my mind right now.
Working in Canada, yeah, you have to have like at least a year or 2 or 3 years at least.
But you had three.
But I was not working in that position per se. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're like, I was a student and I was just doing part-time jobs here and there, but I don't have that Canadian experience.
Wow. I love the way you say Canadian experience. Oh, wow. Okay. So here we are. You're bringing these people together. And I want to definitely highlight what you do with women, because we go back to what you said. You said, hey, you know, I had issues with my weight. I was exhausted. I think you said you had anxiety and things like that. So tell us about how you work with women or people per se, but
yeah.
You highlighted women and how you assist them with the same thing you went through. Because look, let's be honest, there's nothing like someone helping you that has gone through the exact same thing that you've gone through, because you know, you have that feeling of, they get me, they know what they're, you know, they know what they're talking about. They know what I'm feeling. And so we can come to a common ground and I can get the help and understanding, the empathy that I need. So explain that part right there.
Okay. So for my, I wanted to help women more than anything else because I understood firsthand the experiences we were going through. And I started my nonprofit organization. It was mostly centered towards menstrual health and finding resources here in Toronto that help immigrants or African descent women through all the barriers that they were going through, especially with our reproductive health.
Okay.
And when I was having, when I was in the workshops and these conversations around menstrual health, I began to notice also that the struggle went beyond the healthy body, because that's what I wanted. I just wanted to be healthy. I wanted to work on my health, advocate for menstrual health for mostly Black and African women here. It's kind of not at par with, I think also all over the world, with where it, the other women of other races, especially the white women, the resources they get. And what led me start Rafiki Bridge, that's the nonprofit. Just back up a little bit.
Okay.
That's the nonprofit. And during sometime in my second or third year, there was a huge crisis that was happening in Toronto where the number of refugees and people facing homelessness was really huge. And a lot of organizations came in and stepped up, but they only helped other races. They left the Africans, and most of them were left outside. And there was even a Kenyan woman who died on the streets. It was winter and she was a refugee who had just come into Canada. But because they're not used to the weather and they were not able to access shelter or housing, they were left outside. So after working through that and realizing that my own people are still going through this, that put me to a position where I, where could I help? And since I was already doing menstrual health advocacy, me and my team at Rafiki Bridge, we were visiting shelters, dropping off sanitary pads and doing workshops and just having conversations and linking them to other resources in Toronto.
Wow. So now, okay, so I'm trying to, that's amazing what you're doing. But at this time, when you started doing that, you're still working the same job, right? The same job that exhausted you, right? And so and so basically you just swapped out school for starting the nonprofit.
Yes.
And
basically,
and,
yeah.
And I know from experience, look, nonprofits, starting a business is hard. Starting a nonprofit is, in my opinion, more difficult because not only are you looking for, you're not necessarily looking for customers. You've got to look for people to help, and then you've got to look for the help that you need in order to help those people. And it's a juggling game at times. And so so you're doing this, you're working this the same job. And I'm guessing on the day off you're looking, you're pushing the, you know, to assist people and this, that, and this, that, and the other. At this point, are you, how are you physically? Mentally, it sounds like you're like, I know what I'm supposed to do. You found purpose. But how are you physically?
Physically, luckily, during, it was towards the end of my third year, so school was finishing. I was done. I was done with all that. So I guess I'm very ambitious. The little free time I had, that's when I was like, let me focus on this. Again, it goes back to the mindset of trying to help everyone except yourself. So I just swapped one for the other.
Right.
Mentally, I was slowly working myself into that, but physically, I was still not where I wanted to be. I wasn't eating right. I wasn't taking care of my body. And when I was helping this woman and I was having these conversations, luckily we have amazing, amazing volunteers here who are still from the same immigrant and African community. Great. And when I was seeing this and I realized I need to be a better example for them. It's not just about giving them the sanitary pads and all this. I also need to show them there is a path here in Canada, since we're already here, that could be successful all round.
I love that you wanted to be an example for them, because that makes complete sense. Because someone who wants to learn something from someone who looks like they're in the same situation, like, wait a minute, you're no better off than I am. That had to be. So you're helping, immigrants.
And refugees too.
Okay. All right. So, I'm sure that, a lot of them are struggling with, anxiety, self-doubt, possibly even depression, right? I can only imagine exhaustion. At this time, they're probably, limiting in the beliefs. They're left with all this fire, and they get over there and find out that, man, I'm not where I want to be. So you're dealing with this. What's the first step that you take to break free from those challenges? What's the first thing that Mercy goes for?
When I'm speaking to anyone who just, especially it's always for who are in new spaces, it doesn't matter whether you just got into the country, maybe you just got the new job, right? Mm-hmm. And you've never had the Canadian experience or anything else.
So you're trying to juggle. Wow. The Canadian experience. All right.
Okay. So the first thing I tell them is you're not alone. Every single person you meet, no matter how confident they look like, no matter how polished their life seems, even me myself, as I am telling you this, there's still some things I'm battling. There's insecurities, there's limiting beliefs for every single person. Even the loudest person in the room is often carrying the heaviest battles inside. The lifestyle that looks perfect on social media are the people, they're still struggling with something behind the camera. So you are not alone in this, and you're not the only one struggling with this. Every single human being is carrying something that they need to work on, or they are working on, or they will work on. So that gets the pressure of them thinking they're the only ones who are going through this, the struggle. And then that awareness lifts the shame and the silence off it. They can easily speak about it in these spaces. And then the next step is identifying these limiting beliefs, where they're coming from. Because you as a human being, this is not the life that was created for you when you came into existence, of struggle, of depression, of surviving, basically.
Right.
You were meant to come here, be successful and to thrive and to live a happy life. So we try to identify where these limiting beliefs came from. And I always tell them, we are like a sponge. And every single environment, person, work, whatever space you're in, you're absorbing a lot from that. Whether it's the positive or the negative, it's like the sponge is just soaking it all in. And we have to break through all that and identify there's you, and then there's the things that you've picked up along your journey.
So it sounds like one of the first things it almost sounds like, hey, you need to change like your surroundings, who you hang around, because like you said, we're a sponge. So if you're around somebody saying, man, we ain't gonna make it, or I'm not gonna make it, or I can't do this anymore, then naturally you're gonna, that struggle, seems to just jump on you, and you're like, man, I'm not gonna make it. So it seems like you definitely want to give an aura of confidence to the people that you service. So my question to you is, what does confidence look for Mercy?
You're listening to the Life Strong Project.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse.
Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
With Verbal's last-minute deals, you can save over $50 on your spring getaway. So whether it's a mountain escape with friends, a family week at the beach, or sightseeing in a new city, there's still time to get great discounts. Book your next stay now. Average savings $72. Select homes only.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
Positive stories, positive people, positive lives. The Life Strong Project.
So my question to you is, what does confidence look for Mercy?
Confidence to me is not about the appearance or the society's version of success. It's about alignment with your authentic self. Mostly when I talk to women, I tell them, what do you want? And so we work on the decisions or the choices that brings them to what they want. And when someone gets what they want, it gives them that courage to keep pursuing anything that comes to their lives that they want to reach to their highest self. This confidence is the energy that shapes your relationship, your career, the environment that you allow yourself to be in. And this also enables them to set boundaries, to speak up or walk away from things that no longer serve them. And success can mean different things to different people. So identify what success means to you, whether you want financial, whether it's career, whether it's recognition or more stability. That could be success, just having a slow life that is more stable. So we first identify what you want in terms of success. And then the confidence is built on the choices you're making towards that highest self that you want to be, that you want to live. And this is also in knowing your worth and then honoring your truth and carrying yourself in a way that attracts that opportunity and attracts that respect and fulfillment.
Wow, that's awesome. So here you are mentoring people in, you know, confidence, wellness, and things like that. So you start working with them. What changes or shifts do you see when they start to embrace their authentic selves? Their authentic selves, who they are, what they want to be, finding out, you know, what success means to them, what are some of the shifts that you see?
The transformation has been incredible. I've had women come back to me in weeks, or they just text or call me, and it's the energy that they have in the decisions and the choices they're making. They call me and they're like, I finally applied for that program I was afraid of, and I got in and I'm starting my school next month. Wow. Or I left that relationship and my life has already started changing. It's starting to say no at work. I had a friend and I kept telling her, you need to say no. You need to clock out on time, switch off everything and go home. The job won't go away and your boss will, there's nothing they can do about it if you just do your hours and clock out. And at first they are always scared of it will affect my job. How will they perceive me at work? But if you're being paid from a certain time to a certain time, mm-hmm. that's it. And they start getting the free time back. They start getting the energy to start doing other things and just focusing on other things, not just going with that streamlined mindset anymore.
How do you get them to, because that's something that a lot of people deal with. The fear of, oh my gosh, what are they thinking about me here at this job? Because if I leave at 5, mm-hmm. like You know, and it's a trend because, you know, people will, you know, they could get off at 5, but they look over and they see somebody else still working. So what do? Well, I don't, you know, want to be looked at as less than that person. So I've got to stay too. And here you are mm-hmm. in a silent competition. And like you said, mm-hmm. for free work, because that's what it is. You're not getting paid for that. So how do you get people to get over that hump to, hey, look, it's okay to work and mm-hmm. get off when you're supposed to?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we come back to, first of all, the tunnel vision. It should be like, you know, when you're on the highway and you're driving, you're not mm-hmm. looking back to check on the other cars on different lanes. You're just focusing on your lane, whether it's green light, red light, am I going through, am I stopping? You just focus on your lane. And that lane, of course, we had mentioned earlier, what does success mean to you, right? Okay. And so if that success means being productive from 9 to 5, and that's, and I get to have time to go do other things, that's what you focus on, because you don't know what the other person's success is to them, right, or productivity is for them. So having just that focus on yourself and on your life, because everyone is going to have an opinion about you, whether you want it or not. They will judge you, especially us, right, again, as immigrants. The minute you walk in, you're already being judged. So just letting all that go and just focusing on, I'm coming to work, I'm going to be productive from this time to this time, and then I gotta go. I have other things that I'm also focusing on that are beneficial to my life. Because if you're left focusing on fearing what they're saying or what they might say, it just leads to you having like the mental battle inside and a struggle in you between your inner self, who's empowered, who's able to achieve all those things, and your physical self, who's focusing on what other people are saying or they could think of you.
Wow. So, okay. What I want you to do right now is, because you have become a champion for immigrants, for, you know, people from other countries going through this thing. You've become a champion. So take some time, and can you, not, I don't want to say explain, but can you project and teach people right now the unique strengths of immigrants, the immigrant communities, what they bring, mm-hmm. their leadership, their empowerment, everything about them that they can bring to the community that they are currently living in, no matter where they've come from.
Mm-hmm. WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
I think we bring with us resilience. Packing your clothes in a 23-kg suitcase and going to the airport and moving to a new city or a new country with no one you know, that is a strength that cannot even be defined. Mm. You're already strong enough that you made that decision. You're already so confident that you knew you were going to survive no matter what was going to be on the other end. You already have this in you. It's just bringing all that out, but it's already in you. You made this decision and you've left everything you knew to start afresh. This just means you can survive in any condition, in any place, and you can start with nothing. Zero, from scratch, basically nothing. Mm. And you can end up being so successful, starting organizations and starting businesses and doing all these many things. So we bring a certain strength and resilience that, and courage to, the courage to start. That is what most people are scared of. They think, what if I fail? What if it all goes wrong? What if all that doesn't matter when you're in the plane and about to land? You're just focused on, I need to get there. I need to survive. And from there, surviving goes to thriving. So I think immigrants bring a lot of daring skills and a lot of confidence and a lot of strength in them. And mostly I've noticed even the immigrant communities here, when they come here and they start getting stable, just like me, mm-hmm. after a couple of years, they're already opening up businesses. They're already pursuing higher education because we come with this innate thing that I'm going to succeed no matter what. So whether it's a business, whether it's your personal life, you're going to succeed without any other, even with no resources or support as much.
Wow. I wanted to give you that time to say that because it's amazing to me how a hiring manager or a business won't see that or take that even into consideration, because a lot of times yes. I've seen it as they look at people from other countries as, oh, you just wanted to come here because this is, in your case, it was Canada, or in America, it's, oh, you just wanted to come to America. You wanted a free ticket. And I'm like, you know, and it's painful to hear and painful to see when you experience, you're like, man, really? Just because they came from another country, they don't have anything to offer? That doesn't even make sense. Like, and it's amazing to hear somebody like you that has picked up the mantle to, you know, to forge ahead for women, for immigrants, for community. That's we applaud you. And man, I really hope that, you know, you get everything that you desire in doing this. Can you tell us about, number one, the is it the Real Self Academy? Well, okay, wait a minute. Real is it stands for something, because, and so you have to explain what that is, number one, and what exactly that, you know, that entails.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
REAL is an abbreviation for remember, R is for remember, and L is for living it. So in remembrance, we talk about remembering who you are, remembering where you're from, remembering where you got all this, where you soaked in all these negative thoughts for. So remembering is just going back into the past, not just where you got these negative feelings, but remembering the power of who you are as a human being or as a person in these new spaces. Mm-hmm. And embodying is trying to start picking up what I can bring in. Embodying, if whatever I agree on the inside, trying to work on my mental, my spiritual, my physical, trying to embody all that. And then aligning is now putting it into action, trying to align what I know about myself or what I've known or I've come to understand about myself and the actions and the choices I'm making in my life. And then living is in the living of the transformation of it all. It becomes a full life, every day working on it, every day increasing and becoming better and better.
Okay, and so the academy... I'm sorry, go ahead. I'm sorry, I jumped in there, I'm sorry.
I know, it's... And this academy is where we mentor. Yes, I do work with women a lot, and mostly it's women of color, women from different cultural backgrounds, because we face a lot. We already come with limitations from the culture, from the cultures that we are from, and then going to a new space where there's other barriers added on top of that. So trying to break through all that, from surviving to thriving, basically.
Awesome, awesome. If you could say one thing to every woman of color that's an immigrant, if you could say one thing for all of them listening right here, you know, on the Life Strong Project, especially, you know, if they're struggling with self-worth or whatever, what would you tell them?
If I could say one thing, I would say okay, it wouldn't be one thing. You're more powerful. You're more powerful than you can even imagine. We have been gifted so much, especially as a woman in general. We're not just here to give birth physically to children, but we're here to birth things that from the non-physical to the physical, from things that are unknown into bringing them into life. So as a woman, you have that inherent gift of bringing things that don't exist into physical things. And the second thing is women, we have the strongest intuition. And if you sharpen that intuition and remove the cloud of self-doubt, of fear, of shame, of guilt, all these things, and just that intuition can, it's one of the greatest tools we have. And it could be your guiding light out of the trauma, out of all the circumstances you're in. So trusting that intuition, it becomes your compass to wherever you want to get to.
Wow. That, now that right there, that if, wow, that was strong. That was powerful right there. That, and I love how you prefaced it. And you was like, I got more than one thing to say. Okay. So if time for a little, you know, rapid fire. And so what I'm going to do is just ask a series of questions that, so we can learn more about Mercy. All right. Are you ready?
Yes.
It's rapid fire time, people. Here we go. What's a book that changed your life and why?
I would say, I really struggled with picking one thing, but I would say Atomic Habits.
Okay.
Because I learned the power of 1%, increasing 1% in every single part, increasing 1% physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, 1% every day. That's one powerful thing I took from it.
Oh, okay. Morning ritual you can't live without.
Meditation.
Oh, okay. Song that instantly lifts your mood.
I would say Kesho. It's a Swahili song.
Okay.
Kesho.
Coffee, tea, or something else to start your day?
Tea.
I was going to say tea. You seem like the tea person. You seem like the tea.
Oh, yeah. I drink tea almost 5 times a day and before bed, too.
What's the one word your friends would use to describe you?
Confident.
Okay. A place that feels like home to you besides your actual home?
Nature. I love nature.
Oh, okay.
Being out to you, yes.
Okay. What's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
I would say it was more of an encouragement. It was every day in everything, you're becoming better and better.
If you could sit down for a girlfriend talk with any woman in history, present or past, who would it be?
It can be one. Okay,
it's gotta be Maya Angelou. Oh, now that's a good one. Now, that's a good one.
But if you asked a second one,
yeah,
I would say. I don't know if you know a lot of African knowledge, but there was a warrior queen who helped fight colonization and all of that.
Okay. A quote or mantra you repeat to yourself when life gets tough?
Everything is always working out for my highest good.
All right, last one. Ready? Finish this sentence. Living life strong means...
Living life strong means living happy.
Living happy. I like it. All right. Do us a favor and tell us... How can someone get in touch with you? How can they find your website, social media, or any other platform? How can they find you? How can they find the Real Academy or what have you?
You can find me on social media, Mercy Memoir. Mercy, my first name, and then M-E-M-M-O, Mercy Memoir on all my social media and also LinkedIn. That's where you find Masi Kiplagat with my surname. There is also the nonprofit I work for. We have all social handles, and the website is Rafiki Bridge. And I think the best way to get to the Real Self Academy is through my Instagram. You'll find the link there.
Okay. The website, yeah. All right. So everybody, look. Hey, reach out on Instagram. Find the info you want. Connect with Mercy. Learn all this good stuff, especially if you're from a different culture, different community. If you're struggling with some of the same things she talked about and the same things that she struggled with, remember, she's not just talking. She's lived it. She's experienced it. She knows exactly what you're going through, and she is here to help. Mercy Kiplagat, Kiplagat, thank you. So she's, you guys can't see it, but she's cracking up. She's like, he's terrible. That's what she's, he is awful. Thank you so much for dropping by today and just sharing with us, and just explaining what you do, and we wish you all the happiness, all the success in your future endeavors. All right. So Life Strong family, that is a wrap for today. Thank you so much to our guest, Mercy Kiplagat, for sharing her wisdom, passion, and energy with us today. Your insights on confidence, mindset, and resilience truly remind us what it means to live with purpose and authenticity. And of course, thank you all to all our listeners for turning into the Life Strong Project. We appreciate your support and the time you spend with us each week. If you found value in today's conversation, be sure to share this episode, leave us a review, and stay connected for more inspiring stories and strategies to help you live long. Until next time, keep growing, keep believing, and keep living life strong. And remember this, your life is ever fleeting, cherish it. Your life is ever changing, you have to adapt to it, and your life is yours, only you can live it. Peace.
Thanks for listening to the Life Strong Project.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State, 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
You know what they say. Early bird gets the ultimate vacation home. Book early and save over $120 with Vrbo. Because early gets you closer to the action, whether it's waves lapping at the shore or snoozing in a hammock that overlooks, well, whatever you want it to. So you can all enjoy the payoff come summer with Vrbo's early booking deals. Rise and shine. Average savings $141. Select homes only.